In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas defines shamefacedness as a fear of baseness and disgrace. The vice of intemperance, he says, is the most base and the most disgraceful. And he says there is the disgrace inherent to vice in general. Therefore, the good person does not really fear disgrace because he does not commit evils. But the other kind of disgrace is penal, he says, and it consists in the reproach that attaches to a person. It is the opposite of honor, which is due to some excellence. And if you recall on the homilies on modesty, I observed that this excellence principally consists in virtue. Shamefacedness regards the dishonor or the disgrace as a result of sin and vice, and it is the disgrace not only in the person himself, but in the eyes of others. Shamefacedness regards a fault in two ways. In one way, a man refrains from vicious acts through fear of reproach. In other words, he doesn't want people to make some observation or reproach him for having done something base. According to St. Gregory of Nyssa, this is why a person actually blushes. And this refraint is the virtue of shamefacedness. St. Thomas says it's an integral part of the virtue of temperance. And what that means is you cannot have the virtue of temperance without a sense of shame. In another way, a man, while doing a disgraceful deed, avoids the public eye through fear of reproach. Hence, we say that he is ashamed. And that is what is due to our sin and vice. Reproach is opposite of honor. Just as honor denotes an attestation or a witnessing to someone's excellence or virtue, so, too, reproach, the fear of which is shamefacedness, denotes witnessing to a person's defect, especially that which results from sin. So the more weighty a person's attestation or witnessing is considered to be, the more does he make the other person ashamed. We are more liable to be ashamed by persons connected to us, since they are better acquainted with our deeds, that is, they are familiar with us. So in one sense, we're more ashamed around the people that know us the best. But on the other hand, those connected to us can also be the cause of our shame when they do something bad. Whereas strangers and persons entirely unknown to us who are ignorant of what we do inspire us with no shame at all. Shame is connected to those things which are lowest or basest in human nature. That is, matters pertaining to the sixth commandment, immodesty, vulgarity, and the like, but also to pride. Today, people have no shame. And what are some of the examples? Normally, people are ashamed by those in their family who do base things, but not today. People are no longer ashamed of when their sons and daughters cohabitate. They have no shame when their sons and daughters are in relationships proper to those of the city of Sodom. Loving your child and wishing what is best for him does not mean that you should not be ashamed of him when he does things that are bad. People have no shame when they or their relatives leave the true faith. People have no shame at their committing fornication, the solitary sin, or dressing immodestly. And remember, modesty is a virtue which protects a person's excellence or virtue. Our society has become shameless because of the fact that people commit these things without even thinking about it. One has no shame when he views base things as excellences. In fact, today people tend to brag about their sins in these matters, even calling them exploits as if there's something good about it. Parents defend the ill done by their children. When I grew up, if you did something wrong at school, the last thing you wanted to happen was for your parents to find out about it, because then not only did you get punished at school, but you got punished at home. But not today. People have no shame. Their kid does something bad, they run down to the school, and they start taking it out on the administration, expecting them to placate their kid, even when he's the one who's done something wrong. This is a sign of disorder. This is a sign of cooperation in their child's ill deeds. And this is a sign that they are approving of the child's misconduct, because the kid's going to learn, oh, okay, so if I do something wrong and they punish me, well, I'll just tell my parents and then they'll come down and take care of it. Traditionalists have no shame either in irreverently treating priests or the priests' reputations by detracting against them. You see it when they make statements about the Pope and the bishops and things of this sort. When they talk like this, they are not demonstrating virtue. They often try to tell priests what to do and how to do it. Very often the priest is just simply trying to be obedient to what the church expects, such as in the rubrics of the Mass or things of this sort, yet some of the laity will heap abuse on them because they are not placating their desires and doing what they want instead. They have no shame. The liturgy is not about us, it's about God, and when people make it about themselves, that's shameful because they're lowering the liturgy. And therein also lies the connection between other virtues and shame. Intemperance, in this case, a desire to have one's appetite satisfied by harming the reputation of another, for example, when we detract against them, or we gossip, or things of this sort, tends to destroy a person's piety. Why does it destroy piety? Well, piety is the virtue in which one gives honor to one's parents or to one's superiors. So that when we have a desire and we want to seek its fulfillment, regardless of what the consequences are, it leads to impiety and disobedience. This obviously has a connection to the hippie movement in the 60s. Their generational demon is indocility through intemperance, or we may even say impiety as a result of their intemperance. Because they were intemperate, they refused to adhere to the moral code of their fathers, and therefore were indocile, they were unwilling to be led to the truth, trying to find their own way, so to speak. Yet many traditionalists are hippies at heart because they are indocile and irreverent to their parents and their priests. Children today have no problem dishonoring and shaming their parents by bringing their live-in boyfriend or girlfriend to the parents' home, expecting all the while that they, the parents, be kind and gracious and act as if there is nothing wrong. This is the height of dishonor and impiety. There is a lack of shame when the child will insist on getting married outside the church and expect the parents to come to the wedding. And when the parents do the honorable thing and refuse, the children will then try and shame, imagine that, shame the parents by telling them that they are being divisive and uncharitable. It is the children who are being divisive and uncharitable because they're trying to force the parents to choose from doing what they know is the right thing to do, that is, not to attend a wedding which they know is invalid and offensive in the eyes of God, and placating their own children whom they love. It's contrary to charity. And this is the height of impiety because it dishonors the parents and it actually asks them to do something dishonorable. Then, of course, people watch shameful things on TV, even in the presence of priests, and they don't feel any shame about it. They'll actually ask you to come over and watch something because they think it's funny and there's nothing but impurity and immodesty in the thing. And people will allow their children to view these things without any shame either. Then there's, of course, pride. People will be puffed up over the slightest thing, forgetting their own defects. It reminds you of that phrase that one time a priest said in regard to a particular nation that had a problem with pride. He said, "Never have so many been so proud of so little." And that's what you tend to find in people. Just the littlest thing becomes the thing by which they puff themselves up. Rather than looking at their defects, they should have a certain shame in recognizing their unworthiness, even for the good things that God gives them. The shame will help to keep them lowly, recognizing their defects, and therefore aid them in obtaining humility. And so we see that it's not possible to have humility without a sense of shame. The crisis in the church is the result of a lack of shame among the clergy, not just in relationship to theft and things of that sort, but also in relationship to liturgical abuses, which are very often infantile and silly. And yet the priests have no shame in doing things that, instead of ennoble people and lift the liturgy up and make it worthy of God, instead it becomes silly and infantile. Then there is the abuse scandal, which is a result of no shame, not only among the clergy, but among the bishops who didn't deal with it properly. It reminds you of Our Lady of La Salette. Now, mind you, this is 170 years ago. Our Lady appeared at La Salette, and she said, "The clergy have become cesspools of impurity. It's because they have no shame." In The Lord of the Rings, granted it's a piece of fiction, but there is a great line in which the king of Rohan on the battlefield says as he lay dying, and his daughter is present, and she is mourning and doesn't want him to die, and he says she has to let him go. And this is after he has fought valiantly, and he makes the line, he says, "I can now go to the hall of my fathers without shame." He had demonstrated excellence on the battlefield and could now enter into heaven with his fathers who went before him. And that, of course, the heaven is our hall of our fathers as well. Not only God the Father, but also the hall of the saints, of Saint Joseph, Our Lady, of all of the saints that we know, those of our patrons and that sort. And yet, can you, enter the hall of God the Father and your fathers in the faith without shame? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.